All right. How many want to go up? How many believe in the rapture? That Jesus is coming. And we're going up. Even all of those saints back there on the bulletin board that we have their pictures and that are already in heaven. Do you know what? They're coming back to go up. He's going to put them in a brand new body. And they will rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air. Amen. Well, I'm going to preach to you this morning about what it takes to be caught up by God. You know, there's been two fellows already who have been caught up without dying. If you've read your Bible, you know who they are. And I'm going to preach about one of them. There's not a whole lot said about him, but there's enough said about him to tell us what it takes to be caught up by God. Listen to Genesis 5:21. When Enoch was 65 years old, he became the father of Methuselah. After the birth of Methuselah, Enoch lived in close fellowship with God for another 300 years. And he had other sons and daughters. Enoch lived 365 years, walking in close fellowship with God. Then one day he disappeared because God took him. In other words, he was caught up. Enoch holds a rare distinction in the Bible. He did not die. Instead, God took him away. Scripture does not reveal much about him. He must have been a remarkable man. But we find this story in Genesis 5 in a long list of the descendants of Adam. Adam was Enoch's great, 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 great grandfather. How many remember your great, 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 great? Nathaniel does. Pray for him. Enoch was the great grandfather of Noah. Who knows who Noah was? Enoch was the great grandfather for Noah. And the father of the oldest man who has continuously lived on earth, Methuselah, who lived to be 969 years old. Bill, what for shape do you think his knees were in? Enoch is the oldest living earthly person in the universe who has never died. He was 365 years old when God took him to heaven, and he is still living with God after all these years, which would make him over 5,000 years old. The other Sunday I said some of y'all were old, old, old. Wow. There's only a short reference in Genesis 5, 24, 22 and 24. And it says, Enoch walked faithfully with God. That's repeated in 5:24. Enoch walked faithfully with God. That's what reveals why he was so special to God. You see, Enoch lived in what we call the antediluvian period, meaning before the deluge. This is a period that was from the fall of man, from the time Adam and Eve were kicked out of the garden for disobeying God's command until the flood. That period of time is known as the antediluvian period of time. The Bible speaks of this era as being a time of great wickedness. Listen to what Moses wrote about it in Genesis 6:5. The Lord observed the extent of human wickedness on the earth, and he saw that everything they thought or imagined was consistently and totally evil. Does that sound familiar? It's getting to, isn't it? So this sheds a lot of light on why God felt so special about Enoch, who walked faithfully with him. This is the first part that we need to understand to be caught up with God. Enoch's faithfulness to God. Remember, this was an age of conscience, the conscience of man. There was no law given to mankind like in the day of Moses. Moses gave, or God gave to Moses the commandments, the law. Read Leviticus and you'll see all of the law that God gave. That didn't exist in the day of Enoch. It didn't exist in the antediluvian period. There was no law. It was by the conscience of man. How many has ever had your conscience speak to you? Huh? You ought not to do that. Hello? That's the conscience. That's what was applicable in this antediluvian period. So all of the people that lived from Adam clear down to Moses or to Noah's time didn't have any of the laws of God. They had to live by what they knew and understood from what God had told Adam. See, men had to live according to the advice handed down to them from Adam. Through his son Seth, Adam was the one who walked and talked with God in the Garden of Eden. Have you read about that? God would come down in the cool of the day and walk with Adam, and they would talk together. Oh, what a wonderful relationship. What all do you think God shared with Adam in those sessions in the garden? I wouldn't doubt that Adam learned much about who God was and what he was about and how to please God and what God was looking for. And so by this time, the majority of men had heard. They knew the heart of God through the servant Adam. And yet, they turned away from God's advice. They hardened their conscience and toward God. And whatever God had taught them through Adam that they needed to do, they had turned their backs upon it. A few more years from Enoch's time, God would find only one man with three boys and their wives, making eight in total people. Only eight people out of the multiplied thousands that had been born since the time of Adam's creation. Only eight people through the antediluvian period had any favor with God. You think we've got it bad? We probably have 60, 70 folks here this morning. Boy, we've got a crowd compared to Noah's day. Amen? Only Noah and his three sons and their wives found grace in the eyes of God. That's how much the people of that era turned their backs upon God and upon the advice that Adam had given them. We today know the law of God. We today have heard the message of Jesus Christ. And He is our guide. We can turn to the Beatitudes. We can look at the Sermon on the Mount. We can read directly the words of Jesus and His command. We have a powerful instigation within ourselves to have a personal relationship with Christ and with God Himself. That's a whole lot more than Enoch had in his day. So you and I have a whole lot more gone for us today than this man Enoch that lived in the antediluvian period. He didn't have many friends because he was the only one the Bible talks about who was faithful and walked faithfully with God. In the midst of this wicked generation of people, Enoch was faithful to God. How many of us, regardless of how bad it gets around us, how many of us is going to stand firm for the gospel of Jesus Christ? How many of us are going to be faithful to what the book says? Amen? Oh, we can already look around and see, you know, culture is changing. Things are being accepted that the church didn't accept many years ago. And we are embracing it if we're not careful. You have churches who will invite sinful individuals who are living in abomination to God, come into their pulpits and preach their gospel. But are we going to remain faithful? Enoch, in the face of all of the wickedness of his generation, made the decision, I will be true to what my great, 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 great grandfather heard from God Himself. He stood in direct opposition to the wickedness of his fellow man. In the face of sin and evil, he stood for the righteousness of God Almighty. He would not compromise his convictions for what God had taught his great, 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 great grandfather Adam. I want you to remember, Adam was 622 years old when Enoch was born. And he continued to live to be 930 years old. So Enoch lived during the last 308 years of Adam's life. And no doubt he sat by Grandpa's knee and heard Adam tell the stories of what God had spoken to him in the garden before he fell from grace. Amen? Amen. So here's a man who had heard firsthand what God had spoken to his grandpappy Adam. Today we are privileged to have the infallible, inspired, written Word of God. How many believe this is God's Word?
Amen.
Amen. You believe it's infallible, has no mistakes in it. Amen? You believe it is inspired by God Himself. Holy men of old, moved on by the Holy Ghost, spoke these words and wrote them down. Do you believe that? You heard the little story of the boy in the front seat and sitting beside his daddy, and his daddy heard something and he ripped a page out of his Bible, and his daddy got it back and said, what are you doing? There wasn't a whole lot left. And he looked up at his daddy and said, well, the preacher said we don't need that. It's not for us today. I had somebody try to correct me the other day. I mentioned something from the Old Testament. They said, we're not in the Old Testament anymore. I said, I beg your pardon. Everything Jesus fulfilled was from the Old Testament, and he made it even stronger. Woo! Glory. Are you going to stand on that word? You going to stand by that word? When the world hates it, when the world makes it illegal, when the world says you cannot serve God anymore the way you please and stand for the truth, will you still be faithful and stand upon the Word of God? Will you listen and be an example for the rest of the world? We are facing an ever-increasing wickedness of our culture. Are we willing to stand faithful to the truth of God's Word as Enoch? My friend, that's one of the ways that you're going to be able to go up. If you don't abide by His teachings, His command, Jesus Himself said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And if we do not be faithful, if we are not faithful to His commandments, we cannot go up. I want to go up, don't you? I want to hear a trumpet sound. I want my feet to leave the ground. Amen? Antichrist can have all of that's left. Amen? He can have it all. I'm going to a brand new mansion. And the only way to get there is be faithful to God's Word. Secondly, Enoch did not keep silent about the sin around him. Let's go to the book of Jude. Jude verse 14 and 15. Listen to this. Enoch, who walked who lived in the seventh generation after Adam, prophesied about these people. Enoch said, listen, the Lord is coming with countless thousands of His holy ones to execute judgment on the people of the world. He will convict every person of all the ungodly things they have done and for all the insults that ungodly sinners have spoken against Him. Enoch said that. Jude wrote it. Jude knew that Enoch said those words. How Jude ever heard, they had to be handed on down. Amen. And here it is. This was the message that Enoch preached to the people in his generation. Those wicked ones that lived in the antediluvian period. He said, I'm going to tell you something, boys. The Lord is coming from heaven. And when He comes with His saints, He's going to bring judgment with Him. And if you're not living right for God, you're going to be committed to the judgment of God. And He will execute judgment upon you. Now, Pastor Lay, we've got to love everybody. Yes, honey. I love them all. I love them so much that I'm going to do my best to keep them out of hell. I love them so much that I'm going to do my best to tell them when they're not doing right. Amen. There have been a few times in my ministry, the 45 years of pastoral work, I've taken people for a ride in my vehicle and found a spot somewhere, pull off the road, pull up in the field, do something, and turn around and look at them and say, you're backslid. You're not living right. Who told you? I said, the Holy Ghost. Oh. And as of now, I told one of my Sunday school superintendents, I told him, I said, as of now, you are on probation. You are no longer the superintendent of the Sunday school. You will not have any part in the church. We were having church in his house. He had to get up on a Sunday morning, leave his house for us to come have church. Kicked him out of his own church in his own house. You talk about audacity of a preacher. But he got saved again. Praise the Lord. God called him to preach. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen. If we love people, we're going to tell them and warn them of the wickedness of this generation. Amen. We're going to warn them of the coming of the Lord. And we're going to warn them that when He comes, He's bringing judgment with Him. Enoch already knew that the Lord was coming to earth and proclaimed it to that generation. Enoch knew that there would be thousands of God's followers who would come back to earth with the Lord. And he proclaimed it. Enoch preached to the wicked generation that God was going to execute judgment to the evil on the evil in the world. Enoch preached God's conviction to the ungodly and the ungodly things. He stood for what was true. He did not sugarcoat the truth. He spoke the truth. And if we want to go up with the Lord, we're going to have to take the same kind of a stand in our convictions. Amen.
Amen.
Somebody say, praise the Lord, or oh me. I've got 5 minutes. Thirdly, Enoch pleased God. Listen to Hebrews 11, 5 and 6. It was by faith that Enoch was taken up to heaven without dying. He disappeared because God took him. For before he was taken up, he was known as a person who pleased God. You didn't know this much stuff was in the Bible about Enoch, did you? He pleased God. And then comes that great passage of Scripture, and it is impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who comes to Him must believe that God exists and that He rewards those who sincerely seek Him. He was known as a person who pleased God. What are you known for? When people call your name, what do they think about? When they called Enoch's name, when his grandson, great-grandson, Noah, when somebody mentioned, when his daddy, Lamech, mentioned to him about his great-grandfather, Enoch, the first thing that came to mind, he pleased God. God liked him because he did what God wanted. How many of you have been trying to please somebody all your life? I've heard a time or two when I've been in counseling with some couples, I can't please him no way, shape, or form. Huh?
Amen.
Who said amen? Bob, we'll pray for you. I've had it the other way around too. I can't please her. I can do the list. I can get it all done. I can do this and that and the other, and she's not satisfied.
Amen.
You notice Addie's not here. If we try to please people and can't hear, how in the world are we going to ever please God? I mean, after all, God is holy. God is pure. God is righteous. But how many know that God has grace?
Thank you, Jesus.
Enoch pleased God. It can be done. Hallelujah. Don't give up. Don't throw in the towel. Amen. Enoch pleased God. And he was a man of like precious faith as you and I. He was as human as any one of us here. And if he could please God, guess what? Even though Al, you can't please Addie, you can please God. Amen? Amen. We're going to stick around after church.
I only responded to that so that somebody would respond.
I hear you loud and clear, Brother Al. How did he please God? He maintained his faith. He didn't quit on his faith. In this drastic time that he lived, in this wicked time, the antediluvian period that he lived, he kept his faith. That pleased God. He didn't corrupt himself with the generation that he lived in. Well, everybody else is doing it. I guess I might as well as too. No. He didn't corrupt himself. He kept his faith. He did not corrupt himself with the wickedness of a generation. And that pleased God. And at 365 years of age, walking and pleasing God by keeping faith in him, abiding by his commandments, not corrupting himself with the things of the world, God took him away. How many want to go up? Here's how you get it done. The prerequisites for our being caught up by God are the same as those which applied to Enoch. Faithfulness to God, proclamation of God's truth to the world, and pleasing God through faith in him. Are you ready to go?
Yes.
Would you stand with me? If there's anybody here this morning, there's anything, any way, that you feel like you're not really pleasing God, there's something standing in your way, now's the time to get it right with him. Because you see, after the rapture is taken place, it's about over. Oh, there will be those who can then turn to God during the tribulation period. But they will pay with their lives. My question is, if you can't serve God now in the day of grace, how in the world will somebody serve him in the day when you have to pay with your life? Now is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. Today is the time, because Jesus may come before today is over. I want to go up with him. And so I want to have this testimony that I please him. I open this altar right now. Anyone at all, if you feel the touch of God, the tug of the Holy Spirit, the moving of the presence of Jesus in your life, calling you to him, come. Come now and begin that journey of pleasing God. Believing in him. Standing for what he stands for. Trusting in him day by day. And fulfilling his will without corrupting with the world. Is there anyone? You want to step out and come to this altar this morning? I want to have this testimony that I please God.